CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
And we're back. It's the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. Hey, get on the membership train here. You can start getting, as you probably heard, you can go to Dubrovnik. Phil, you say Dubrovnik.
I say Dubrovnik, but what do I know?
Okay, like, good. That's the other side of town.
Whatever I say.
I'm from Dubrovnik. You're from Dubrovnik.
It is one of the most gorgeous places on earth I've ever seen. Right. Yeah.
I got to remind everybody, Sid Ryan tomorrow night. I better not say tomorrow night is. Yes, it is.
Tomorrow night. Yeah, Lula Lounge.
Yeah. 1585 Dundas Street West. Sid Ryan, Lula Lounge, 1585 Dundas Street West, near Dufferin. And it's a book launch, Grander Vision. And that is going to be, of course, 7 o'clock. And we urge people to go to that. In a little while, we're going to be talking about this planned. I like the title, the Nationalized General Motors, Oshawa's Green New Deal, and it's going to be a meeting in Oshawa. By the way, it's on the 25th. That's an Oshawa event. So those of you in Oshawa, go to this, and it'll be at 1001 Ritson Road South, and that's Oshawa, April 25 at 7 o'clock, and that's we're going to be talking to James Hutt about it. And I think we might be joined by James. No, we are not joined yet. So good. We have Phil, tell us who's speaking at this event.
Jennifer French, who is the member of the legislature at Queen's Park. Mike Palachek, the national president of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers. Russ Christensen, the Canadian Worker Co-op Federation. Dimitri Lascaris, lawyer, journalist, activist, and the MC is Tiffany Balducci. She's the president of the Durham Regional Labor Council. It's sponsored by the local 222 Political Action Committee and the Durham Regional Labor Council, and by the Canadian Union of Postal Workers. Yeah. It's a major labor event in an important labor town.
What an exciting idea of taking that property and turning it into something productive for the people of Oshawa. And for working people,
they have a great suggestion. They said, you could turn it into a plant that would build green vehicles for the postal service, and you could keep people working and doing something about global warming, because of course the green vehicles would be clean energy users.
Even GM admits electric is coming, and that's just a fact. So, it's a Nationalized General Motors, Oshawa's Green New Deal. That's the 25th. In Oshawa, 1001 Ritson Road South. This is Taylor Report, and remind you, of course, again about the station. Oh, and Phil, we have some news about Mumia.
Yes. Well, Mumia has had a major breakthrough in his case. He was...
I didn't say his full name. You have the...
Yes. Mumia.
You know, I like to think of him as a man with one name anyway, but
right.
Go ahead.
Mumia Abu Jamal, who has been in jail for 37, 38 years, he had an appeal that was dismissed by a court in Pennsylvania 20 years ago that the court was tainted because one of the judges sitting on the court was one of the prosecutors. He put him in jail. And it took 20 years, but some courageous judge in Pennsylvania said this isn't right. I mean, this does not appear to be justice being done, and ordered that he be allowed a brand new appeal as if he had never appealed. Then the Philadelphia district attorney stood in the way for a while, and that was surprising because he's supposed to be a progressive guy. And now he's decided he's not going to stand in the way. So, and by withdrawing his objection, the appeal will now go forward, and it'll be heard on its merits.
So this is dramatic news.
It's very dramatic news, very unexpected, and of course the right wingers are going completely nuts over it. But that's just because I think that they
know there is a left. So
yeah, yeah.
We too are going.
We've been going nuts.
They're
over,
crazy.
We're pleased. We're excited. You know, there's no real evidence against the guy that he committed the crime for which he's in jail.
What there is evidence of, most importantly, is racism in Pennsylvania.
Plenty of evidence of that. Yeah.
If you don't have justice, you don't get to accuse anybody. Frankly, if you have a racist system, and you charge somebody, I don't care who it is. You have to let them go because you're not playing fair. So, I mean, that should be the you know, how the issue is defined. Anyway, thank you, Phil, for that. And this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'll remind you again that Eva Bartlett on the 25th in Toronto is going to be speaking at different book lists. And on the 29th, which is a Monday, she'll be talking in Hamilton, 24 Main Street West. As we know, Hamilton has two main streets. Get on the right one. Get on the one that goes west. By the way, I had the experience of actually getting on the wrong Main Street. You know, being lazy, I thought, okay, I'm on Main Street.
I hate to tell you this. It's all one street.
Yeah.
It's just that it has two different names depending on where you are.
Yeah. Well, I got lost. Don't change my story. I'm sticking with it. So this is Taylor Report. Of course, we've announced Mumia. That is very good news. Apropos of our interview with Eva Bartlett, I mentioned that Max Blumenthal, who does brilliant work, and I'd like somebody to explain to me where he finds the time and energy to do so many things so well. Quite a marvel. He has the Gray Zone project, I believe, and I see him. He produces a lot of Twitter material, and a lot of good writing. Of course, he has a new book, but all leading me up to say this: that on the 24th in Washington D.C., Guaido's commandos, the Guaido bandits, are going to try to take over the. They claim they're going to try to take the embassy, the Venezuelan embassy in Washington. And, of course, it's a town full of bandits. I mean, the Democratic Party bandits, the Republican bandits, President Trump, he's an all-around 360-degree champ bandit. They actually supportive of the criminal behavior. I mean, to them, this is all just a big joke. And so Lord only knows what the Washington police will be directed to do. But Max Blumenthal, go to his site. You can just Twitter, you'll see the footage. He's inside the embassy there and talking about how Americans ought to rally in defense of the law. Maybe we could invite Chrystia Freeland because she believes in the rule of law. Maybe we could get Chrystia Freeland to go and help defend that embassy from criminal behavior. I don't count on it.
Don't bet any money on it.
I'm not betting, but I'm just, she is, believes in the rule of law.
Yeah.
And this is a case of violation of the rule of law, and I think it's time for a little Shazam movement, you know, get down there and stand with the people.
Phil, speaking about the democracy and the rule of law, there was an election in Ukraine. It didn't have the result didn't seem to be what the defenders of rule of law here wanted to see.
Somewhat unexpected.
Yeah.
There's an inevitable joke. I wish I could say inevitable twice in a row. But here, Ukraine, which has been very close to the heart, by the way, of Chrystia Freeland. It is probably very close to it. And we had a seizure of power there in 2014, in February. And the people doing it were in touch with John McCain, this famous senator now deceased from Arizona, and Victoria Nuland, who is an operative, kind of a big shot operative. And she is in the Obama White House and she was in the Bush White House. And but they always seem to have one line on Venezuela. Well, they do have one line, and now that I think of it, but Ukraine. So she went to Ukraine and as very famously helped engineer seizure of power. People remember, you can actually find it online. She said, who should be chosen? She said, Yatsyuk, she called him Yats, I forget his full name, if you can remember.
Well, he's long gone, man. Yeah.
Boy, I think he lives in Toronto. Right? Yeah. There's a rumor that he's right here. He's trying to.
Oh boy.
He's going to get a job as an accountant or something. Yeah. But anyhow, she said he should be in power, and the three or four people she named, actually for very briefly looked like they were going to run the country, but then the windows were blown out and the roof came off because it was such an artificial thing and a muscle job by the Americans that those guys are gone. And Mr. Poroshenko, who's known as the Chocolate King of Ukraine, he's been wearing camouflage uniform and talking about how he's going to beat up on the Russians and this kind of stuff. So he runs, and he gets, what, 20% of the vote? And it was a woman, Timoshenko. She didn't even make the final round. She got lost in the relay somewhere. And so a comedian has won the presidency of the Ukraine. So now the joke is that they voted for a comedian, and, of course, we vote for clowns. And there's two forms of humor. And amazing, it's a cultural moment. It's not a political moment. It's a cultural moment. But you know what is striking about this man is that he played down any more fighting with the Russians. And he got something like 70% of the vote. And his position was, we've got to talk our way out of this, and we've got to think of some new things. And I saw a breakdown by one of these think tanks with chrome on it called Democracy House. They were breaking it down, and they said, who talked about what issues? He did not talk about Crimea at all, which would tell you a little signal. And, of course, he is saying they need to have a meeting in which they respect some of the old agreements. Just very important for our listeners to remember something, that on February 21, 2014, there was a meeting organized by the European Union, supposed to be an important outfit, Germany, France, etc. And they negotiated all night with the political leaders of Ukraine, those in office and the so-called opposition. And they came to an agreement in which there would be an election called. There would be an end of the Maidan violence. People would, there would be a restoration of the 2004 constitution of the country. And they would go forward from there. However, that was aborted on the following day by the so-called Maidan militants. And they all have very famous names. And I've seen some of these Maidan guys in Ottawa standing next to Prime Minister Trudeau as though they were some kind of heroes. I checked out their percentage of the vote. They've been trying to get elected. 0.2, 1.3. This is the gang. And they made all this havoc on February 22nd. And they caused the president to flee the country because they were threatening to grab him physically. And I'm sorry to tell everybody, but you don't get to cheat like that. See, they did cheat. They didn't really want a free and fair election. They didn't want that 2004 constitution. They wanted what Victoria Newland calls yats. They wanted him. They wanted these three or four of these other guys. And it has turned into, I could work on the same joke. It's become a clown show that produced a comedian. Among the clowns, if you remember, there was a man named Saakashvili. Do you remember Mr. Saakashvili?
Yes, I just have to remember which nationality he was at the moment this was all going on, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's been traded more often than some of the Toronto shortstop. Yeah, he's been on everybody's team. So he used to be the president of Georgia, and then the people of Georgia threw him on his head, tossed him out. Because he was trying to pick a fight with Russia, the Georgians said, if NATO wants to fight Russia, tell them to fight them themselves. The people of Georgia didn't feel like being used as a guinea pig. But he was all big mouth. He was going to fight them. So he then left. Well, now years, of course, when the chocolate king takes over, who's an oligarch, we're told, in Ukraine. So the chocolate king takes over, and he has a cabinet. So he wants to, they say, well, we have too much corruption. We have to clear out the corruption. Everybody agrees that corruption is a big deal. So the chocolate king brings in his super talent, Saakashvili. Now, Saakashvili is a Georgian. Of course, he's also an American. And the chocolate king made him a Ukrainian. He gave him Ukrainian citizenship, and then he gave him a powerful position in the cabinet. Well, lucky for the people, as I use the word clown, I'll bring it back. He gets it. You can watch it online. I love YouTube and all this. He's at a cabinet meeting. He starts hinting that the guy across the table from him is a crook. So the guy gets up and walks over to him and throws water in his face. So I thought, now there's a cabinet meeting. I'm glad I missed. And so then Poroshenko, who's, of course, just staring at the two of them as a powerful leader that he is in his camouflage uniform, he's looking at him thinking, oh, my God. And this is all on, you know, going to be watched. You want to know why he got beat? I mean, there's silly moments like that. The people of Ukraine are perfectly reasonable people. And when you give them a chance, they do very smart things. So at any rate, Saakashvili talked himself into a hole. And so then Poroshenko said, well, you have to go away. And he orders him out of the country and takes Saakashvili's citizenship. You're no longer, you've had your 20 minutes of being a citizen.
Well,
you're done.
Like an utility shortstop, his contract was ended.
And you know what happened? Then Ms. Tymoshenko, she invites him back, and she goes to the border. Saakashvili comes from Poland and walks into the country with a bunch of muscle guys pushing the customs and people out of the way and says, I'm back. And then he took an apartment. They gave him about a week. And then in the middle of the night, they come and took him and threw him out of the country. Now, Saakashvili, guess he wants to be an American. He is applying for refugee status, I think, in the U.S. Now, that is no way to treat your employees. I would say to the U.S. and to Ms. Nolan, come on, you got poor old Saakashvili in so much trouble. He's Saakashvili, whatever. You got him, almost got him killed in Georgia. Then you try to make him a member of the cabinet in Ukraine. And he gets, and of course, they got fed up with him. And you ought to at least give him a home. You know, let him, all kinds of people around Langley. Everybody knows Langley, CIA territory. There's apartments full of guys who work for the CIA who think they could take over, you know, countries in the world. And often they do. So, and on the corruption front, I'm really interested. I'm worried for Joe Biden's son. I don't know if you heard about this. Yeah. I told you there was a coup in February. I keep wanting to say 1914, which that was a bad year. February 2014. After the coup, in April, Joe Biden pays a visit to Ukraine and to the chocolate king, and his son ends up on the board of the biggest gas company in Ukraine, board member, big bucks. And so people say, well, that sounds corrupt, doesn't it? So Poroshenko said, well, you think it's corrupt? Well, you know, I have a prosecutor. The prosecutor said, we're looking into this. We actually think there might be something a little shady here. The vice president of the United States comes to visit our country. His son ends up on the board of directors of this billion-dollar operation, oil. Anybody says oil, we all know there's some money there. So prosecutors say, I'll look into it. Joe Biden, the Democrats think they want him as the leader. Joe Biden calls the President Poroshenko, calls the Chocolate King, and he says, I want you to fire the prosecutor now. Guess what? They fired him. They fired the prosecutor. Joe Biden, yeah, his son, I think his son is named Hunter Biden. And boy, he's hunting, all right. He was in he went to a military school, and he said he was doing very well. He was going to be an officer. And then he came home one day, and the Washington media, they don't listen to CIOT, so they don't know what's going on. I'm going to tell them about this. He came home, and somebody said, I thought he was in the military. And he said, no, he's not in the military. They didn't say, well, okay, somebody finally said, broke the question, what happened? Cocaine. He had cocaine problem. So Joe Biden's son, After the coup, you know, remember a while ago I said they had, they were said on the 21st they're going to have an election, but they said, no, we'll have a coup. So after the coup, Biden shows up and his son gets to be on the board of directors in Ukraine. So why did they vote for a comedian 70%? Because they got two eyes. The people of Ukraine are not blind, and they're not crazy either. I think that they, what we see in this vote is they're thinking they want to send the same message to NATO. You guys want to fight with Russia, do it on your own time. Don't push me into this problem. This comedian, he steered his way through the whole thing saying, he put out the message, we need talks to solve the problem. Because what is their problem? When they made that coup, it was a Western Ukrainian coup, the guys who made it. And they wanted to dominate all of Ukraine. On the eastern side of the river, what's the name of that river, Phil? You're a river man. You don't know?
It's not the Don. No.
No, no.
That's in Ukraine.
We'll think of it later. Yeah, it runs right through Kiev.
Yeah.
On the east side are, the population speaks a lot of Russian. There are many Russians in eastern Ukraine. And they said they saw what this coup was all about. It was to really put them under the thumb, including, of course, Crimea. So they said, well, we don't want any of that.
That's the Dnieper.
The Dnieper River.
There you go.
Deeper than Dnieper. Yeah. So they said, well, we're not going along because you said we're going to have a new constitution and we're going to have an election of all parties. But the coup says, no, they're not going to have the election, and it's not going to be all parties, and we're going to chase the pro-East Ukrainians out of the country, which they did. So they inherited a civil war. That's, congratulations, that's really smart of you. So that problem isn't going to go away. It has to be talked about, and you have to treat people with respect. And I don't know what Victoria Nuland is doing these days. I hope she's keeps her cotton-picking hands out of there. The Ukrainians should tell her, you know, thanks for all the advice. Stay home. See if you can find Saakashvili a new job. So this has been the Taylor Report. You can tell. Hey, membership drive, you got to get with it.
The week of May 6th, but why wait? Go to CIUT.FM now and renew your membership, and your name will be entered in the draw for the trip for two to Dubrovnik. And most importantly, you will help CIUT continue to be a thriving community radio station and stay on the air and do the wonderful work that
and
we do.
Trump Premier Ford, while you're at it.
Yeah.
It's a little twist in there. And you're welcome for the Ronstadt. Well, I cannot say her first name.
Linda Ronstadt, yeah.
I thought she was great.
I did too. I had no idea.
And Jessica was great. So thank you very much. We'll see you next week.